been taking a look at this of truth and the Lord's churches being the pillar and ground of the truth where the Lord has placed them and planted them. We've gone to the Great Commission to take a look at the foundation, the basics of what we're to be a pillar and the ground of the truth of. Of course, it spans all the Bible. It's all of the Scripture. The Bible is the truth of God, and we are a testimony of that. But we've got there's some order there. There's some things primary and then some things on down the line from that. I think the Great Commission tells us that forefront, that spear front of the work that we have. Creation is not a part of that Great Commission directly. But as we've talked about and have mentioned, that some missionaries, or maybe some that you've run into in your life, the Lord's placed in your life, you might have to talk to them about creation. So you can talk about, and that they can maybe help them and cause them, or be used of the Lord to cause them to understand that they have been created. They are accountable. There is a judgment in that responsibility and accountability. And therefore, they have a need for their transgression against a holy, holy God. Okay, and so, but the Great Commission in and of itself is to preach the gospel to every creature, and we may have to go to other parts of the Bible to lay foundation for that. We took a look at baptism, to baptize the believers, to baptize those that come, and where can we start there? How can we get the foundation, the base of that? Well, it's found in John the Baptist, a man sent by God, and we've taken a look at those origins. We've taken a look how that authority, that commission, that directive by God unto John to baptize had a purpose, had a reason, and had a way that it went about, ultimately that the Lord Jesus Christ might go and be baptized by John, and therefore taking and obtaining that authority as a man. You know, he's the God-man. He will be that forever. But as a man, the Lord Jesus, he submitted to that authority of God through John that baptism might be given to his churches. That same authority we have today as one of his churches, passed down through the ages from church to church to church. That's what we believe and we hold to. And so we took a look at that. We took a look at John, the calling of John by the Lord, the ministry of John, his message and his mission in previous messages. Now, and I think this is a good opportunity for us to understand something about the Scripture. In taking a look at the ministry of John the Baptist and the work of God regarding giving baptism, directing, commanding baptism to his churches and to be administered in this New Testament age, this church age, to believers, those that are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And taking a look at the origins of that with John the Baptist, we've pretty much camped out in the Gospels. And that's where that lays. You know, John was not a member of the Lord's church. He was a prophet sent by God, the forerunner of Christ. But right there at that cusp of getting the Lord baptism to his churches, starting with Jesus Christ. Okay, not to say that others were not baptized before Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is the leader of his institution. We continue to be one of those institutions here. And so that gospel, that word, that message, although there is that about baptism that is there in the Gospels, and if you will, there's a sense that the Gospels unto all mankind. We need to see that delineation. When you meet somebody that has not been church, they've not been taught in a church, they don't know anything about the Lord, they don't know anything about their sin, or this, or maybe they think they know some things. It is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what Christ came to do is the thing that they need first. They don't need to be made a Baptist before they're saved. We need to remember that. And so this of the Gospels is that work of Christ that is given for us to get to them. You can't make people a Baptist before they're saved. Okay? It just cannot be done. And so on the subject of baptism, we've taken a look at the origins. We've seen that in the Gospels. We've seen how the Lord used John the Baptist to accomplish that. He's the means to get it here. What we want to do now is we want to go and take a look in the Scriptures, not the Gospels, but now the balance of the Scriptures. And then the balance of the Scriptures, the New Testament Scriptures, are speaking to the Lord's churches about baptism. And so we need to know that. We need to see that delineation. It's not to say that somebody saved can't learn something from the epistles to the churches, okay? But they are written for people who are saved and in the Lord's churches. So we need to watch that we are careful. I believe we be careful about how we take the epistles written to the churches and take that and use that on people or use that to witness to people. All of the Word of God is good, but the letters are written to a limited number of folk. Okay? And so chew on that, think on that. If you got questions about that, ask. But take a look. It's the Acts of the Apostles. It's really the Acts of the First Church. The Apostles are preeminent there for a while. And then we go on to the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the balance of the book of Acts. And that, what is all that? That's all church work. And then from Romans all the way to 2 Thessalonians, it's all epistles directed to churches about what to follow in, what to believe, how to pursue, and that. And so we need to watch that delineation. Always remember the audience that the Scripture is speaking to, and then you and I need to consider the audience that we are speaking to for us to take the Word of God and use it towards them. That's the thing, frankly. Some will have trouble with this. I ran into some that have trouble with this, but that's an aspect of being skillful with the Word. We're not talking about trickery. We're not talking about deceit or sleight of hand or anything like that. I'm not saying avoid those epistles because there's much in there that is good. But we need to consider audiences and consider the audience that we're speaking to on what they need and what we give them out of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, be careful about throwing pearls before swine. And the thing is, that's a pretty rough analogy, isn't it? That's pretty rough. I wouldn't recommend you go out that and use that with anybody because he says, lest they turn and rend you. Okay, they trample the pearls and they come and rend you. And so I think we can take that and understand that there's appropriate passages in Scripture to an appropriate audience. You know, somebody that's saved, you know what they need next? They need to be baptized. They need to understand and learn about the church. Being saved, they got the capacity to receive it. But if they're not saved, they don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. They need Christ. And so just want to throw that in there. Let's take a look tonight, beginning with this message tonight, and one passage. Let's take a look at the picture and testimony of baptism to us all. Okay? And I have that to us all because we as believers and the Lord Jesus Christ and here in His church, we have engaged this of baptism, we've submitted to it. That's how we're members of Olmsted Baptist Church. Whether you were baptized here or baptized under the authority of another, one of the Lord's churches and moved your membership here, all of us have submitted to the authority that the Lord has given into one of His churches. And this of baptism speaks to us and to one another about some things, and also speaks to the unbelievers that look on too. Okay? And so let's take a look at this. First, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll take a look at this tonight. I don't want to go fast, and there's four different passages to deal with in regards to this subject. And so let's consider context here. Who's being written to? Church of Corinth in Greece. So it's one of the Lord's churches. Is it written to the world? Well, the world has the Bible and the Scripture, but it's not written to the world. There are some good things in it. There are some things that can be learned, some things that can be understood, some principles, some concepts, even things of the Old Testament reviewed and how they're brought up as examples and such as that. But who's this written to? It's written to a church. It's written to Olmsted Baptist Church. It was first written to the Church of Corinth, but it's written to us too. And so we We need to understand that. The picture and testimony of baptism to us all, unbelievers and believers. 1 Corinthians 12, let's start at verse number 12 and read. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. So start right there. We're going to go several verses on down through the passage. But here we understand that this of baptism, this of being put under the water, somebody that's saved, right authority in the Lord's church, one of the Lord's churches, the right purpose, the right mode of being immersed, buried in the water. He's speaking about the subject here about, for as the body is one, you understand that. Did you leave any of your body at home? It's just not going to be the same without you. We don't do that. We're all here together in one package, aren't we? And so he's given the example of something that we can understand, a body, a human being body, as the body is one and hath many members, right? Fingers, hands, elbow, arm, neck, head, shoulders, so on. The body is one, knit together, works together. If everything is well, if a body doesn't work well, we know that there's something wrong. There's illness, there's hindrance, there's problems, right? There's a schism in the operation of the body. We know people that get brain damaged or parts of their body damaged, and the body won't cooperate with itself, will it? For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, you don't say, well, there's Brother Jim, there's Brother Jim, there's Brother Jim, and there's Brother Jim, do you? Brother Jim is here, and then part of him's over there at the parsonage. That part needs to straighten up and get back over here in the services. That's not the way it is, is it? We're one body, each of us individually, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. There's a lot of emphasis there in there to just help us to understand. So also is Christ. A brother here in our church years ago, he made a great point. And, you know, how you say things and how you think about things is to relay things, to understand things. And what he said that I remember that was just so helpful to me, and we mentioned about denominationalism here our last handful of messages, all kinds of different denominations made by men in the world. And all of them believe different things. And all of them the denominations believe different things about being saved. So we'll just start at the heart of it. Most of them believe in a universal, a Catholic, Catholic universal. Those words are synonymous, okay, so understand that. They believe in a universal church, whether it be Catholicism believes visible, Protestantism holds to invisible. That the church, they get confused that the body of the family of God is the church of God, yet they don't even agree on foundational doctrine about how you're even saved and would enter into this mystical thing of the church, which what they really are referring to is the family of God. Is that a unified Christ? No, it's not a unified Christ. If somebody believes a sacrament can get you saved, and putting you under the water can get you saved, and taking the Lord's Supper can get you saved, and salvation by grace through faith, which we know is true, there's no unity in that. I mean, they're at odds with one another, aren't they? So here the Lord tells us that as a body is one unit, it's got many members. They're all members of that one body, even though there's several of them. See that emphasis? You know, so he goes to the many, he goes to the one. Goes to the many, goes to the one. Our one body, so also is Christ. There's unity in Christ. See, when you take people that are not saved, or you take people that maybe are saved, but have not been taught, have not been given discernment, however it is, because there's all kinds of different combinations, you can see that somebody else, somebody reading somebody else's mail, church mail, can get it misunderstood that there's a universal church. There's no such thing as a universal church. There's the institution of the Lord's church, like we have the automobile. When you speak about the automobile institutionally in a general sense, because we know they have motors or engines, right? They have some means of propulsion. But yours, you may be driving a truck, you may be driving a car, you might be riding a scooter. Now, all of them have different engines, different mechanisms. And granted, a scooter is not an automobile, but it would be a vehicle. And so they get that and take that to make it one big mass of church, which it is not, because the Scripture knows nothing about it. What here is being said? Well, listen, a local body is already known to be part of one another. I mean, when the government, what was it, in Ephesus, got together, they knew that they were the government of Ephesus, and none of them belonged to the government of Philippi or Colossae or over there at Athens. They were of the government of Ephesus. Okay, that group, that body of the government, when they called together, they had the riot, and they said, look out, I think it was Ephesus, so those that are over us are going to come in here and ask us what we've been doing and having this riot today. When the Apostle Paul and the situation with those who were saved, and then they blaming the Jews there in Ephesus about things going on, and compromising the thing with Diana, the silversmith issue. And so it's known that that government, the government of Logan County, doesn't have a lick to do with any government in the state of Kentucky. They have no authority in any other county in the state. So we understand about the bodies, and so it is with a local body. We know that we are part of this church, okay? And so so also is Christ. Who's he speaking to? Church at Corinth. He's not taking and dragging Church of Philippi and Church of Ephesus and all this in together into this body. He's talking to this local church in Corinth, like he's talking to us here at Amstead Baptist Church. Listen to what he says: For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. Again, you can't have a part of a body over here and a part of a body over there. Because only the part of the body with the brain and the heart is going to live. The other part's going to die. Okay? And one spirit has not worked to just one big mass of a church, but it's one spirit that works on individuals to save us. And one spirit that the Lord promised to his church, his churches, that is in our midst here. We are unified. We've all been saved the same way, haven't we? Our repentance and faith, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, upon us. And so this, he's by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So here we see that we're baptized. Baptism is that entrance of someone, that joining of someone to this body, the church, the Lord's kind of church. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews. Nationality or ethnicity means nothing. Now understand, this is for the human race. And that's what there is the human race. And for every ethnicity, every tribe of people, every nation of people, it just doesn't matter. Because we're made in the image and likeness of God. One blood, the Lord made all the nations. And the spectrum of those that may be there at Corinth, whether you be the Gentiles, the non-Jews, or you be the Jews, it just doesn't matter. Because the Lord works the same in all. And the Lord, and by one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond, the reference there is being slaves, not being at liberty, not having freedom to operate and go about. It doesn't matter if one would be in bondage, as has been with many, many people over time and antiquity, or free, at liberty to travel about and not being in bondage to another man. It just doesn't matter in this affair of being a part of one of the Lord's churches. It's the work of the Spirit. That's the reason when we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because they all have part. They all have work that they have done and are doing and bring this all about. It's in the name of the Trinity, the names of the Trinity. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And so we have this of this church, and the Spirit of God has drawn people, has saved people, has convicted us, shown us the truth, caused the light to shine, and shown us the truth about us and about Christ, and caused us to run unto Him, to flee the wrath to come, and to flee unto Christ, that He's saved our soul. And He's also convicted us that we need to follow our Lord in this baptism, and by doing so, we join His church. That baptism given by the Lord's authority, given to His church, that's what I try to say when I for the church baptize somebody, is this by the authority of the Lord given into Olmsted Baptist Church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Lord's continued work. We're just the means that He is using. And so here we see this of baptism, that by that, not only does it picture Christ, not only does it picture what has happened to us, as we'll talk about more, but here as the Lord speaks to one of His churches, like Olmsted Baptist Church, the Church of Corinth, Olmsted Baptist Church, it tells us that by baptism, we are baptized into His church. It's the entrance. You know, it's told, I've got somebody in my family, and their spouse was saved. And, you know, when they were saved, they were convicted greatly. They said the Lord saved them. They repented and believed the Lord saved their souls, and they wanted to be baptized. It was just boom, boom, boom. They want to do it. That's what's right. That's what the Lord says. And they wouldn't be baptized. But the spouse or this family member had whatever idea was there in their heart and mind. They would attend with that spouse that was saved and wanted to be baptized, and claimed to be saved themselves, but never had any compunction whatsoever to be baptized themselves and join. And I wonder about that situation, if it just didn't roll on for years and decades, because as I remember faintly in my memory, it kind of just happened that spouse ended up becoming a member. Just kind of got swept in with the crowd, kind of, so to speak, was regarded as such, having never made any public acknowledgement, having never been baptized. I suspicion that because of what I saw and what I heard. You know, people just don't slip into the Lord's church. They've got to be baptized by the baptism that the Lord has given to us. And so that is very, 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 very important. Who's He speaking to? He's speaking to churches. This is what we're to uphold. This is the truth that we're to operate in. The truth that we're to tell when it's appropriate and right to tell it. If somebody's saved, they need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Well, why? Okay, we need to be equipped to be able to tell them and to show them in the scriptures why. Verse number 14. Some other things related to this. Listen to those words in verse number 13. Have been made to drink into one Spirit. Isn't that interesting that those words are used, to drink into one? You see, you can something outside the body You can have no closer taking in or absorption of that than consuming it. That's why the Spirit of God lives within us and has convicted us through and through. Verse number 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Okay? And we've got different members as it described, feet, hands, ears, so on. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, you and I know that answer. No, it's part of the body. It's part of the body. It can't, by saying that it's not. Isn't the Lord relaying here the seriousness of becoming a part of the body? It's serious business. It's not willy-nilly. No one should ever be baptized and join one of the Lord's churches thinking they're doing like they're joining the Kiwanis. Right? The Lions Club. This is a whole different zip code. You're part of the body. And you just don't get away from the church just because you say you're tired and don't want to anymore. It just doesn't happen. It's serious. Can the foot say, I quit? Or if the foot is jealous because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I want to be something else, he said. And he's dealing with the church at Corinth, and I trust that we understand and know the things that were going on at Corinth. And he's prepping them for some of that jealousy, that one-upness that's going on in the church, that not willing to take the gifts that they have and be submissive in them, putting them in the right place. Not the thing that they have, conceitedness that some have, and they want to ride up over others because they think they're the most important. So he's prepping them for some of that he's going to speak about here soon. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body. The jealousy amongst members, is it therefore not of the body? No, it's part of the body. We've been put in the Lord's church by Him. And we've been gifted the way the Lord wants us gifted. We all have that which we can do. And we need to desire that the Lord would give us more that we can do for Him. And look for opportunity that we can do for Him in this body, this church that He's put us in. And not to be jealous ever one of another, because our calling from the Lord is where the Lord has called us and how He has gifted us. What we are responsible for is to do what we have to do with what He has given us to do with. That's what we're responsible for. And brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, however they've been gifted, that there doesn't need to be any jealousy about that, but there needs to be a cultivation of the gifts that God has given you. And you and me. Because listen to what he says. If the whole body, verse 17, were an eye, how would we hear? One big eyeball. That strikes a picture in our minds. What could you get done? He says, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, everybody, and the whole church wants to be an ear, where were the smelling? There needs to be all of these different aspects, considering the church as a human body. But now, listen, receive this. All of us need to receive this. But now if God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. I need to get a hold of that. I need to get a hold of that. You and I need to get a hold of that. That the Lord has put us here how He's wanted to. How He wanted to do so. He's equipped us. And given us the gifts and the talents that we need to fill our part. And we don't need to desire to be something that we're not. We need to get comfortable with what He has given us and what He's made us. And to improve, to expand, sure. But not because brother or sister so-and-so has it. but to serve the Lord with. To serve the Lord and to honor the Lord. There's no problem with gaining in talent or pursuing in talent. There's no issue with that at all. But here, there's this indication, this hint here of jealousy. If there's a jealousy going on in the body, there's not going to be cooperation to go one way, is there? But now God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased Him. And He set them in there, how? By conviction of the Holy Spirit, salvation by the Lord, repentance and faith, the good working of God, as Colossians says, I love it where it says there in Colossians, which we'll take a look at, the operation of God. I tell you what, it's just what all the Lord does and how He does it is just wondrous. But He, by the Spirit of God, has convicted and brought someone to salvation and saved their souls and then given them a desire to become a member of one of His churches. And by baptism, this relationship in this body has been entered into. Verse number 19, and if they were all one member, would you have a body? No, you'd have an arm. you'd have an arm. Arm can't get around very well. An arm can't grab anything. Got to have all the members. Every member is important. There's no big I's and little U's, is there? The Lord says there's no respecter of persons whatsoever. That's a difficult thing for human beings. Very naturally, we are respecter of persons. But the Lord makes it clear earlier, with Him there is no respecter of persons. And there needs to be not any respecter of persons with us. Lord, help us, forgive us when there is. But now there are many members, yet one, but one body. So individual parts, you and me, us, put together in this one body, brought so by baptism. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Jealousy was spoken about before. Now there's exclusion. There's a message cooking about when the setting of naught of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a reference in the scriptures, in the New Testament scriptures, about when men will not, setting at naught is not the word that is used, but that those words are used relative to Christ. When men separate you from their company, you know that can happen with the world, and that can happen with brethren, and that's not to be with us. But here, there's exclusion. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. My hand, who needs a hand? And again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And I want to go ahead and mention this here. This is something the Lord taught me a handful of years ago with a brother that over at camp. Do you see that reference to the head there? You know, we understand in the headship of Christ, the leadership of Christ that He's referred to in the body as the head. But think about that not as the cabeza, okay, not the head, but think of that as a leader, okay? Because here the reference is to just another body part. Now, granted, our brain is in our head, and we get that about you can't function to live without the brain. You know what? You can't function to live without the heart. You know, there is a time where allegory falls apart. Okay, and according to this brother, that thing about the language of our King James translation and this reference to our Lord Jesus being the head, people think this rather than think leader. And I see where he's coming from, but here the head can't say, I don't need all the rest of y'all, can it? Otherwise, the head can't get around. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. And again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The head goes nowhere without the feet. and if the head did go somewhere without the feet, it would be. Can you imagine me having to roll my face around on the floor to get somewhere? I mean, it's bad already. It would really get bad, wouldn't it? It'd be worse, wouldn't it? The feet aren't thought of as much by the head, but I'll tell you what, the head really needs the feet, don't they? So the eye can't say to the hand, nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You know, now this isn't an injunction, a putter forth to find out who's feeble. Because all of us are feeble in one way or another. Oh, yeah, I know who the feeble ones are. No, that's not what it is. That's not the message that we should get from this. We need to understand that our care for one another and our work together in the Lord's work in His church, in Homestead Baptist Church, needs to be like our body working together in the way that we live. You hit your finger with a hammer, and from your, not the hairs of your head, but from your head to your toenails, you're going to say, ouch. And then the other hand's going to come in there, and the eyes might even, if it's really, really bad, the eyes might be involved, and the lungs are going to be involved, and you might even be crying, and the blood's going to say, keep me in here. Right? Because the body is knit together in such a wonderful, wonderful way. So is the Lord's church. Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And indeed, each member is necessary. And those members, verse 23, of the body, which we think to be less honorable. Watch out for that. Upon these we bestow more abundant honor. The feet may not look like much, but I tell you what, they carry the rest of us around. And praise God for it. Amen? And our uncomely parts, the not-so-pretty parts, have more abundant comeliness because they serve a purpose in God's design that is necessary. Fearfully and wonderfully made we are. Fearfully and wonderfully composed as the Lord's church is too. It's a wonderful thing. And it's a work of God. And how was it that we entered into it? Well, the Lord saved us. And then we were baptized into that body, into that local body there, wherever it was that we were baptized by one of the Lord's churches. So more abundant comeliness by the operation, the purpose that the Lord has given. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And He's just wonderful at doing that, His creative creation. He's just great at it, praise His name. That there should be no schism in the body, no jealousy, no respecter of persons, no running down or no self-glorification, but a unity, just like a body that works well together for the purpose of that person, so we are a body to work together for the purpose of our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Again, not jealousy or respecter of persons. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Like your stubbed toe, like your achy knee, or you're hurting back. You got that catch in your back. Your hand says, I don't care about that. Your hand cares very much about it. And your back is thankful that your hand's able to put some icy hot on there. Right? Or one member be honored. All the members rejoice with it. You're able to make a this or do that or accomplish the other with the talent that the Lord gave you. You're happy. You rejoice. You enjoy a job well done. An accomplishment. Your hand isn't over here. I'm not participating. I wasn't for that anyway. No. The whole body is happy about that. Right? Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We got here by baptism, which tells about Christ, tells about what the Lord's done for the sinner, for us, when He saved us, what's happened to us, and put into this wonderful institution, the institution that is the most it is the most eternally important institution to the Lord. Can I say it that way? Because the family, marriage, is very important to the Lord too. But that's for now. Marriage won't go on amongst us and our spouses in eternity. But the Lord's marriage will. But here, we're a member of an institution that's going to go right on into eternity. Isn't that a wondrous thing? You know, not everybody's been blessed with that. Like John said it, no man can receive anything except to be given to him of the Father. The Lord has shown us, has convicted us, has shown us this truth out of His Word. Not everybody sees it. But this truth that the Lord's shown us is again, it's one of those things that the Lord's given us. He's shown us in His Word. We're convicted of it, that it's that way. But then sometimes there's those that we tell and those that our forefathers have told and stood for that it got them in trouble. Being a Baptist can carry a price with it. But you know what? It's the eternal truth of the Lord, and may we stand in it and stand for it and proclaim it and tell it.